Okay, page 900. Last week. only Moshe was here last week. You were here. You were here.
I wasn't here.
You were here.
We have four men, six ladies.
Here.
Okay, we know each other.
Okay, last week we started Parshas Matis on page 900. We went into the concept of the difference between Matis and Shvatim. Why the Jews are sometimes called Matis, sometimes they're called Shvatim. We said Matim means a hard stick. Shvatim, Shevet means a soft branch. Sometimes the Jew has to be tough, sometimes you have to be bending a little bit. And then we also said Zeh HaDover Shetziv Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, Nisnaba Bezeh, and all the other Nevi'im said prophecy with Koi. We discussed the difference between Zeh and Koi. Zeh, you point to it, it's on your level, and so on and so forth. Okay, so the first pasuk we learned. So we start, Vedam Moshe Rosh HaMatis and Esau, Lema Zeh HaDover Shetziv Hashem. Okay. Ish Ki Yidon Neder LaHashem. If a man will make a neder, a vow. A neder really, in like he writes at the bottom, in English there's no proper word for a neder, because a vow is really a shvur. Now we'll soon see the difference. If a man will make a neder l'Hashem, a hishav a shvur, or he swears an oath, le'asot iser al nafshei, to forbid something for himself, le'yachol dvorei, he should not desecrate his words, he should not make it weekday, mundane, chol, anything that comes out of his mouth he needs to do. Okay? There's a mitzvah in the Torah that's called making a neder. Now what the Torah is talking about over here, neder and shvuah, which are different as we'll soon see. There's a difference between neder and shvuah. Basically what the person is doing is forbidding an object, or we'll soon see, which the Torah normally permits. You can't make a neder, I'm not going to eat chazer. You can't make a shvuah that you're not going to eat chazer, because you're already pre-sworn, Gemara says, Mushba v'emid, you're already pre-sworn from Har Sinai that you're not going to swear, that you're not going to eat chazer. So you can't make a vow, I'm not going to eat chazer. Here we're talking about a person taking something which is allowed by the Torah, and he's forbidding it for himself. And this could be done in a way of a neder, or in a way of a shvur. Neder means, the person comes along and says, Harezek a korban. This is like the korban. Now just like a korban you cannot eat, because it's only eat my koyanim. So you're saying, this food is forbidden to me like a korban is. If a person comes along and says, on a kosher piece of meat, Harezek chazer, it's not a neder. Why? He says, this is chazer.
It's not true.
Because it's not chazer. He can't say, what he meant to say is, this should be forbidden to me like chazer. Right? But it's not chazer. He can't say that. He can't say, this is chazer, because it's not chazer. Okay? So the concept of a neder is, a person takes something which is allowed by Torah, and he says, I'm not going to eat it. Shvuah, he doesn't say this object is like a korban. Shvuah means, I will not eat the apple. Okay? One case is a person comes along and says, this apple is like a korban. So what did he do? He made for himself, for only for him. He made the apple like a korban. Meaning the apple becomes forbidden. The second case of shvuah that the Torah says, a yishav a shvuah, means that he made a shvuah, I will not eat an apple. That's a shvuah, not a neder. Okay? That is one thing. Or, another neder is also in a positive way. A person makes a neder, he's going to give money, that's why we say bli neder. If a person makes a neder, I'm going to give $100 tzedakah. That means Torah does not obligate him to give. Okay, if you're obligated to give, if you damage somebody and you have to pay it, you can't make a neder, I'm going to pay it. Torah says you have to pay it. You damage somebody, you have to pay it. Neder is when you don't have to do it, and the person comes along and says he's going to do it. Okay? Now, before we even go further, there's an interesting argument between the Ritva and all the other Rishenim. It's brought down in the yeshivish world, the guys, kids that learn yeshiva know this. Whether, it's a very interesting shayla. Is Teira Issa Gavra or Issa Heftza? Does the Torah, when the Torah says you can't eat chazer, does that mean chazer is treif, the chefza, the chefetz, the object is not kosher? Or does the Torah say you can't eat chazer, it's on the person? Is it gavra, meaning on the gever, on the person, that you can't eat it? Or is it on the object? That's a big machlekes in the Rishenim. Most poskim generally rule that an object that the Torah forbids is the object becomes treif, not only the person. But for, one second. For instance, this is connected to Shvu and Neder, by the way. We'll get to it in a second. For instance, some people say something which is forbidden only for a certain time cannot be object. It can only be person. Like, for instance, you said chametz. I'll give you another example. You can't eat on Yom Kippur. Right? Torah says you can't eat on Yom Kippur. Does that mean the food becomes treif?
No.
Or the food stays kosher? I'm talking about kosher food, right? You can't eat challah on Yom Kippur. Okay? Does that mean the challah becomes treif? Or you can't eat the challah? So over there, many poskim write, over there in the time, or in chametz, right? Chametz, 8 days of Pesach is treif. I'm using the word treif, right? Before Pesach it's kosher. After Pesach it's kosher. All of a sudden for 8 days. What it changes from kosher to treif. So many opinions in halacha say that a issa's mani, an issa which is dependent on time, can only be on the person. The Torah says, you can't eat this food on Yom Kippur. You can't eat chametz on Pesach. But chametz, how could chametz be kosher, and mil treif? All of a sudden, 8 days, it becomes treif. Before it's kosher, after what makes it treif all of a sudden? I mean, the sun shines on it. I mean, like, what makes it treif? So many poskim hold that sins that are connected to time is really only on the person. Torah says, today you cannot eat it. Today, this Yom Tov, your holiday, you can't eat chametz. But it's not on the object. Many poskim, right, even then, it's the object becomes forbidden. And this is sometimes the difference between neder and shvua. If it's issa gavra, issa heftza. Neder means, I make this object forbidden. A guy makes a neder, I will not eat the apple.
Never eat it in your life.
No.
If that's what he makes. If a guy says, I forbid an apple. Now the Gemara says, stam nedarim, normal vows are 30 days. But if a guy says, I will never, I swear, I make a neder, I will never eat an apple, yeah, then it becomes asr forever. Basically, a nazir is also a neder.
So if somebody's giving you apple and you say, asur for me, it's not, this is for you, not for me, this is for that one apple for that one time.
It depends. If he says, this apple is asr, or he says, apples are asr.
Wow.
Or you can't put a time.
One second. You have, even by a korban, okay?
Yeah.
If a guy makes a neder, okay? Go be said. A guy swears, I'm going to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Then he goes to his animal thing, takes the animal and starts shopping it to the Beis HaMikdash.
I'm going to bring it, it's already there.
What?
I'm going to bring it's a neder.
Yeah, if he says it in the lotion of a neder, and make a neder, that's not a neder necessarily, even though it says, Meitzvah Sasecha Tishmi, you should keep what you say. Let's keep one thing at a time. If somebody says, I make a vow, I'm going to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? He takes his animal and starts walking to the Beis HaMikdash. In the middle, the animal takes a heart attack and dies. Does he have to bring another korban?
Yes.
came all the way to the Beit HaMikdash, or he didn't come yet?
He came all the way. He walked, about to walk in. The animal took a look at the guy and got a heart attack. Okay. Now, does he have to bring another carbon?
Yes.
No. Well,
we have an argument in Poskim.
He said
he's
a nether or
as a shibboleth?
No,
a guy says...
Is it this one or A?
Harei.
This one. This
So that's the difference between the nether and the dover. Yeah. Nether, the guy says, Harei alai oilo. I have to bring a carbon oilo. Nedava is Arei Zu Oila.
This
animal is a carbon. Oh. The guy says, this animal is a carbon. And then he brings it and the animal dies. He's off because this animal is obviously not a kosher carbon because it died. But if a guy says on himself, I have to bring a sacrifice, and he schlepped an animal outside the door to Beis HaMikdash, the guy, the animal, whatever, runs away, drops dead, whatever. No, runs away, it's a big deal. The animal dies. He's supposed to bring another carbon because he didn't say this animal is a carbon. Okay? If a guy says, this apple is also for me, then as long as this apple exists, he can't eat it. That apple rots and gets rid of it. He can eat every other apple in the book. If a guy makes a neder, like a nazir, what does a nazir do? A nazir makes a neder that he's not going to drink wine. Right? And all the other dinim of a nazir can become tame, you know, can cut his hair, all that. So the Gemara says, Stam Naziris, Stam Vow is 30 days. I mean, if a guy just says, I'm not going to eat apples, it's for 30 days. Mm-hmm. If a guy says, I'm never going to eat apples forever, then it's obviously forever. Okay? Now, so before we go into the details of it, we find a very interesting thing. In Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, Nedarim Siog Laprishus. If you want to come to abstinence, you want to come to a greater level of Kedusha, you should make Nedarim. You should make vows. Yet we know, other Gemaras say, the Torah says, you shouldn't just make vows like this. In fact, the Nazir, the holy Nazir, that the Torah calls him Kedush, he's holy. The din is, when a nazir finishes his naziris, he has to bring a sin offering. And the Gemara says in Saita that a nazir is called a sinner. And he has to bring a sin offering. Why is he called a sinner? So the Gemara says, Yerushalmi says, but it's brought down, Dayach mashasarta lachatera. Don't be more religious than the book. The Torah says you could drink wine. It's enough what the Torah forbids. Don't be more religious than the Torah. Okay? So one Mishnah says that it's a gateway to holiness, making the daughter, making vows. Right? Another Gemara says you're a sinner. So, like, is it good or is it bad? So the explanation is very simple. If a person is a normal person, you know, middle of the road person, they should not make vows. Then you're a sinner. But if you were, let's say, overly indulged in wine, okay, you're an alcoholic, and because you're all the way to the left, and you want to get back to the middle, you can't go back to the middle, because take a branch, you bend it all the way to the left, you want to get it back to the middle, you have to bend it all the way to the right. So in other words, if you're a person that's overly indulged in eating and you want to stop, so then a neder is a good thing to make. Because then it's getting you back to the middle. Then the Mishnah says, Nedarim Siog Laprishus. Then a neder is a good thing. But if you're doing it stam, you don't need to. And you're doing it, so the Torah says, what are you doing? Well, don't be more religious. What are you going in extremist? If you're being more religious than the Torah. The Torah says be a middle-of-the-road guy. Don't be an extremist. If you bend to the left, you're an extreme to the left. Then you have to be an extremist to the right.
So a Nazir shouldn't be a Nazir?
Huh?
A Nazir shouldn't be a Nazir?
A Nazir shouldn't be a Nazir. But Rashi says in Parshas Nasi, from the Gemara in Saita, okay? What's the connect? The Torah puts the law of Saita right before the din of a Nazir. What's the connection between the Saita, the husband accuses the wife? So it says, Misha Rasa Saita Bekukulasa, a person who saw this woman he's committing a, he should separate himself from wine. In other words, the fact that Hashem made him be aware of it shows he has a connection to it, and then you need to be an extremist.
Because wine brings your sexuality.
Right.
Could you say the difference between neder and shuvah again?
Neder over here means that, again, neder, he says, he forbids something that the Torah says is allowed. He says, this apple is like a carbon. Or, in a positive way, he promised himself to do something that the Torah says you don't have to do. Okay?
So
neder means he makes this apple treif. Okay? Shavua is he swears, he makes an oath, that he will not eat apples. But he's not saying that the object is treif. Oh, yeah. He's saying on himself, I will not eat an apple.
So it's on chefze versus...
Shavua is more gavra, and neder is more on the chefze, on the object. Neder, he forbids the object, and shavua, he forbids himself from doing it. So sometimes in the dharam are good, sometimes in the dharam are not good, depending on what the purpose of it is.
And shavua?
Shavua is also. Shavua doesn't change the status. Shavua tells that the person says, I can't eat it, that's all.
But it has the same effect as right. Going from the derech of, you know, excess to emsai?
He should make it only when there's an excess of the other side.
I'm saying both of them have the same effect.
Yes, yes, same thing. That's what the passage says. Now, why does the Torah use the word ish? So the Gemara learns out, ish excludes a katan. Okay? If a katan, a kid, a katan under bar mitzvah. If a kid under bar mitzvah makes a neder, it's worthless. Unless, and here's an interesting thing, the Mishnah says, katan mufla l'ish, samach l'ish, meaning like this. A boy 13 and a girl is 12 is bas mitzvah and bar mitzvah, right? If a 10-year-old kid makes a vow, it's worthless. If an 11-year-old girl makes a vow, the year of bas mitzvah, then you check her out. Meaning, if she knows what she made and she's mature enough to understand what she said as a vow, then the vow stays. If you check her out and you realize she's not mature, she's a baby, and she didn't understand the severity of what she's, then it's not a shvuah. But once she becomes 12, we'll learn, then a shvuah is a shvuah. A boy from the age of 12. 12 to 13, a boy makes a vow, you check him out. If he knows what he's talking about, then the vow stays. If not, it doesn't stay. Over 13, the vow stays. And that's where the Torah uses the word ish, ki yidu neder, right? Ish, a man, because it has to be the age of bar mitzvah. Okay, now, it's interesting, Chazal...
What's that, Chazal?
What?
It's the same thing, Cheresh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, the Gemara learns out, also, we find by Yaakov Avinu, Vayidar Yaakov Neder Lemer, after the dream, so it says, when somebody is in pain, so then it says they're allowed to make a neder. Because they want to nullify something terrible that might be happening, so again, they need to do an extreme type of a thing. So, if a person makes it, B'chlau, by the way...
And if they make a neder and they cannot make it?
Just 1 second. It says in Halacha, even if you don't make a vow, the pasuk says, "Meitzvas motzas v'sachot tishmar," will come out of your lips. You have to keep. Okay. There's an opinion in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Tzedakah, that even what you think, you should do.
Oh yeah.
Now, the din of a neder, by the way, is only what you say, not what you think. It's also very important. If a person, except by tzedakah, by the way, there's an opinion that if mentally you think I'm going to give $100, you should give it. Halachically, if you don't say it, you know, you don't have to do it. It's only what, and even if you say later, I thought, it doesn't mean anything. What you think is not a neder, even though it's brought down, it says, and the pasuk, David emes bilvavoy, a person who speaks truth in his heart. What does it mean, speaking truth in your heart? So Chazal learned from there that if it's something good and you think it, doing it is called speaking truth from your heart. Because that's thought. Thought is in the heart. The dibur comes out. So b'chlal, a person shouldn't think they can just say whatever they want and get away with it. Speech is extremely, extremely powerful. To an extent that if I make a vow on a condition, as I say, if somebody makes a vow, if you give me $100, I'll never eat apples again. So if you give him the $100, then the nether is chal. If he doesn't give him the $100, the nether is not affected. But what happens if he thought the condition? He says, verbally he says, I will not eat apples. In his mind he thought, for a day or two. Or he thought, if you give me $100, but he didn't say it, what you think is worthless. It's only what you said. What you said is what the vow is, not what you think.
For the money.
For the money.
Just said,
for tzedakah. For tzedakah, there's an opinion that says, even if you think it, you should do it. That's midas chassidus. Even b'chlal, midas chassidus is if you think you're going to do something good, it's brought down, you should do it.
Rabbi, if somebody gets sick, you say, some neder, if I get recovered, I do something. This is part of Kabbalist to help him to recover. What's the
reason? Don't with these Kabbalists. Do me a favor.
What's the reason that they say neder if I get cured and I...
Then they have a problem of a neder. They should always say bli neder.
Why? It help him to get recovered? That's all my point.
Yeah, like we said, by Yaakov Avinu, im adam shori betzad. If a person is sick, then it's good to make a neder. Because you're showing Hashem, you're going more than the halacha demands. Hashem should go beyond what he normally would do for you. If you're going better than so then Hashem will do better than what you deserve, maybe. But this is a b'chal. People have to. There's a famous story. This is very important. People should keep this in mind. There's a story. It's brought down Yom Yom, but it's a famous story with the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, two people in the Baal Shem Tov show got into a fight. By the way, which shows if people get into a fight, it happened even in the Baal Shem Tov show. Don't worry about it. So one guy got angry at the next, and he said, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish. I'll rip you apart like a fish. Baal Shem Tov didn't say anything, but the Talmidim were all sitting. And the Baal Shem Tov used to have a certain interesting custom. The students sat by the Baal Shem Tov like a ches. They sat around the table like that. And whenever the Baal Shem Tov wanted to show visions, they would tell all the Talmidim to hold hands. They put their hands on the friend's shoulders. And then they would sing a niggun. In the middle of the song, the Baal Shem Tov put his hands on the students near him and he closed the circuit. Mm-hmm. Okay? So then they would see visions. So when the Baal Shem Tov heard this guy say to the egg, I'm going to rip you apart like a fish, the Baal Shem Tov said, okay, song time. So they did it. The Baal Shem Tov closed the circuit, and they saw a vision, the way the guy is actually ripping apart the other guy like a fish. And they all shrieked. The Baal Shem Tov took off his hand, and the vision was over. And the Baal Shem Tov explained, and this is a very important thing to know, by the way, there's a world of thought, there's a world of speech, and there's a world of action. Okay? If I say, God forbid, I'm going to kill you, in the world of action, I didn't kill you. Because I didn't kill, I just said it. But in the world of speech, in Olam HaDibur, I killed you. There is a world called speech. This world is ma'asa. This world is action. So as long as I don't physically kill you, I didn't kill you. Because this world, action counts, not what you think. But in the world of speech, if I think I'm going to kill you, God forbid, then I killed you in the world of speech. If I think I'm going to kill you, in the world of machshava, in the world of thought, I killed you. So when a person makes a neder, a person has to understand, this is what the lesson of nedarim is, b'chlal. A neder is not, so I said something, that's how I said it, big deal. You know, people always say things they don't mean. The concept of a neder teaches a person that what you say is very, very powerful. that if you make a neder and you break it, my bezim would whip you. You get lashes for making a, not keeping a neder. And the same thing with lies. If a person, the Gemara is speaking, it's not what the Torah is speaking about here, but there's a din. If I did something, and I swear that I didn't, or I did something and I swear that I didn't, that's all part of this shvu neder bit. Okay? Shvu shtayim shein arba, this past and this future, you know what I mean? There's all these types of things. The lesson of this, before we get to the women, the wives and the girls making the dorim, but a person has to understand the power of speech. The power of speech is so powerful that it becomes a neder, it becomes a shvua, it becomes, you know, like they say in America, verbal abuse could be worse than physical abuse. Talking about a stick, when we were kids, we were growing up, sticks and stones could break by bones, but names can never hurt me. You're not American. Oh, you are American. Sticks and stones could break my bones, but names can never hurt me. Now they're waking up to say, by the way, it's not true. Names could hurt you, worse than sticks and stones, you know? Sometimes verbal abuse is worse than physical abuse. So somebody goes, what's the big deal of speech? The Torah, by saying the din of neder, teaches us the concept of speech.
How do you undo it?
And one of the rabbis once said, you know, that, I don't know how many of you can remember, there used to be something called a telegraph. A telegram. Remember the telegrams? Okay.
We send the letter.
Huh?
Yeah.
Now you don't do it anymore.
No.
Tell you.
Now email.
Texting him. Okay. He said, what is the lesson from a telegraph? When a person, remember those that we've used to send telegrams, when you send a telegram, every word cost money. Mm. Remember, you used to figure out, you used to sit down and figure out what word am I going to say, how can I combine words and, you know, make a bekitzer. Yeah?
Right.
So one, Rabbi Rashab said, the lesson of a telegram is, when you speak, every word has to be like a telegram. Every word has to be reckoned. With a cheshbon, should I say it or shouldn't I say it?
Make it short.
Huh? No, I'm saying b'chlal. That's the lesson. That's all the lesson of nedarim. That's the kind. Ned is a bunch of speech. That's all it is. But it's a very powerful speech. It obligates you to do something and not to do something. Okay. V'isha ki sida neder l'Hashem. If a woman will make a neder to Hashem, this is speaking about a married woman. V'asra isar. And she'll make something forbidden in her father's home, binora, when she's a naira. Okay, now let's say this. I have to tell you first certain... by a man, it's simple. A man, until you're 13, you're a katan. Once you're 13, you're a gadol. Right? Young, minor, adult. By women, there's more stages than that. There's a ktana. There's a naira. And there's what's called, in yeshiva, they call it begeris, but it's really bogeris. Okay? A ktana is from 0 to 12. From 12 to 12 and a half, a girl is called, in halacha, a na'ara. After 12 and a half, she's called bogeris.
A woman.
Oh, she's no. A woman, she is obligated to mitzvahs at 12. From 12 to 12 and a half, which is halachically the time that she's a na'ara, her father still has control over her. In certain things, she has a little bit of control over herself, but she's still a gedola as far as mitzvahs go. Once a girl reaches 12 and a half, she's completely on her own. The father has no control over her. Okay? A girl from 12 to 12 and a half could accept her own kedushin, or a father could do kedushin for her. Mm-hmm. Under bas mitzvah, we learned a father can marry off his daughter. Mm-hmm. Right? Over three, father can knock it off, let you worry about her. Mm-hmm. She'll be a teenager in your house, not in my house. But that's a ktana, but naira, certain things she keeps, certain things father keeps, whatever, but the naira is a gedola, but she's not complete. This Pasuk is speaking about a woman because she's 12 already, so she's an Isha, but she's still a Naira Bevesavia. Meaning, technically, once a girl is married, she's out of her father's domain, even if she gets divorced or widowed.
And if she's 9 years old?
Yeah. Once the father marries her off, bye daddy. That's it.
Not obligated under the father anymore?
What do you mean obligated? Kibra v'im until they die. What do you mean?
No, like to follow or whatever.
That's kibra v'im. Can the father marry you off again? No. Okay? So, here the Torah is speaking now about a woman, Isha, because she's bas mitzvah, she's 12. But the Torah says, Kisid nedel Hashem, she'll make this vow. Va'asra isar, and she'll forbid something on herself. Bevesa via bin hudeha, when she's a naira from 12 to 12 and a half. Vishama vias nidra, and the father will hear her vow. Vasara she also al nafsha, or the vow that the father, that she made. Vehechrish la via, and the father was silent. Vekamo kol nidareo, all the vows stay. Vechol isa shal also al nafsha yokum. Meaning like this. Under 12, if a girl, under, let's see, the last year we said you have to check. But let's say a 10-year-old girl makes a vow. I swear I'm not gonna eat or go to school, whatever. And the father ignores it, there's no vow. If the girl's 12, and from 12 to 12 and a half, she makes a vow, and the father hears it, and is quiet, the Torah says the vow stays. The father can nullify the vow if he hears it and says, no, it's not. It's not a vow. What you said is not a vow. Then it's not a vow.
He has to hear her saying it, or he just has to hear about the vow?
No, he has to hear that. No, she has to hear it.
When she's making it.
Right.
Only father. Mothers cannot do that, huh?
No, sorry.
Another discrimination.
Well,
no,
that's only for the 6 months.
For this 6 month period.
Only 6 months.
1 minute. If anything, we just discriminated against the man.
Why?
Because a girl after 12 and a half could do whatever she wants, and the boy has to wait to 13. So who's the discrimination against?
The 6 months.
That's all. It's a long time. 6 months. You know what can happen in 6 months?
So the mother doesn't have any authority on the top, on the girl, she's under 12?
No.
Only the father?
Only the father.
So that's not discrimination?
It is. What is God?
Ashkenazi.
A white male Ashkenazi. So that's discrimination. God's male.
Okay.
Hasidish.
That's a given. Okay. Now, so therefore the Torah says like this. If the woman, okay, is in, and she's still in the father's house, meaning she's still while under the father's jurisdiction. By the way, it doesn't mean that she was in the house when she made the neder. Vevesavia means she's still under the father's jurisdiction. What happens if the father restrained it? Meaning, the father said, Mufrla, okay, he says, it's not a vow. What you said is not a vow. Any vow or any forbidden thing that she made does not exist. Vashem Yislachla, listen to this, this is a phenomenal concept. Vashem Yislachla, Hashem will forgive her. Kiheni avia Esa, because the father nullified the vow. So what does it mean God will forgive her? It says if the father said no vow, so it's no vow. So why does the pasuk say Vashem Yislach lo? God will forgive her.
She made a note?
No, it says like this. Rashi quotes, but this is an unbelievable concept. Rashi quotes from the Gemara. What the pasuk over here means is, what happens if the father nullified the vow, but she didn't know the father nullified the vow and ate what she wasn't supposed to? Let's say the girl said, I swear I'm making a shvuah, I'm not going to drink wine. Okay? The father heard about it and said, it's not an eder. Right? I'm nullifying the vow. Is there a vow? No. But she doesn't know that the father did it. Then she went ahead and drank wine. So the Torah says, God will forgive her, but she does need forgiveness. In other words, and here's another interesting thing. The Gemara says, what happens if somebody thought this was chazer? He thought this piece of meat. There's a piece of meat on the table. He thought it was treif. And he knew it was treif, and he ate it. And it turned out to be kosher. By mistake, it happened to be kosher.
This is kosher.
Does the person need kapara or not?
Yes.
This is the pasuk that says it. The pasuk says God will forgive her. But it means, Vashem yislach lo, it means that she needs, technically, like he says, technically she did not sin because there was no neder. But she needs forgiveness and therefore she needs tshuva.
It doesn't only make a sin to make a teshuva. Why do they need
teshuva? She made a sin.
The question is, why did they need teshuva? The meat's kosher. Yeah, but in order to get slicha, you need kapar and teshuva.
Yeah. It doesn't make
Hashem yistacha means you need to get Hashem to forgive you. The person, bottom line is the person was saved.
Okay. Why
do you need it? Or not only that, what happens? There's a fire on, yeah. Okay, in Hilchos Shabbos, yeah. A fire is on, and Gemara speaks about bread. But a guy sticks bread into the oven to bake on Shabbos. But before it bakes, somebody came and took the bread out of the oven. So now it didn't bake. The guy do an aveda? No, the bottom line, he didn't do an aveda because it didn't bake. He didn't do a malacha. He didn't cook. It didn't do anything. Right?
Or the fire goes out?
Or the fire goes out. Well, either way, the bottom line is, it never ended up cooking or baking.
And you can't see.
Is he going to get killed by Beis Din for Chilul Shabbos? No, he's not. The bottom line is, he's lucky. He didn't desecrate. Beis Din's not going to kill him. Right? Even if he was warned and everything. But the Naveda he did.
Because he think he was not kosher.
Because he thought that he's doing something that God doesn't want him to do. Just for that, it says, Hashem yislach lah, Hashem will forgive it, and meaning you need tshuva.
What does he do to tshuva
on? And what he wanted to do in Aveda. The fact that he wanted to do in Aveda.
In the case of Nedir, the lady, the girl.
No, she made a neder. She didn't know her father made it. Now neder.
What is she gonna do? Say to Shua that I'm not gonna make neder again?
No, she's gonna be upset that she needs to do tshuva that she did something that Hashem didn't want her to do. So it doesn't really matter the action. A lot of times it matters the intention. The intention of the other.
This is the whole kirhurim. It's an issue there.
Yeah, but I'm saying here's not Irurim. She actually drank the wine. She ate the food that she swore that she's not going to eat. Right? So the bottom line is, she was lucky the father nullified the vow, so it's not a vow. But the bottom line, she did something wrong.
So the world of thought is important.
Huh?
The world of thought is important. It's a connection.
You need tshuva for the world of thought too.
Actually,
you know what it says in Shulchan Aruch? That when a kid becomes bar mitzvah in Hilchos Shabbos, it says, the Altar brings it on Hilchos Shabbos, close to the end of Hilchos Shabbos. He says that a katan, when they become, or a ketano, when they become bar and bas mitzvah, they need to do tshuva for all the things they did as a kid.
But Shulchan Aruch says the father up to now gets all the averas, not the
kid. It doesn't necessarily mean the kid could sin and the father, it doesn't work like that. The father said, "Bosh, Tarani, Meinu, Shalazet." Okay, but But the bottom line is, a kid still needs to do tshuva for what they did, even though they weren't even obligated to do what they did. They weren't obligated to mitzvahs. They're a kid. Nevertheless, they still did something wrong. Here, what wrong did you do? Not practical wrong you didn't do. You're lucky. But your intent was to do something that you were not allowed to do. And for that, you need tshuva.
The same tshuva you should do it? The stink and
the same tshuva, everything. You did something wrong.
No discount, huh?
No discount. The bottom line, did that person go against Hashem? Yes. From the person's perspective, they went against Hashem. They happened to be lucky that it wasn't Trefer, yes,
yeah, right,
or the father nullified the vow. Yeah. But for where they're coming from, they did an action that they thought is going against Hashem.
Yeah,
because they said anyway, but you thought you will do it anyway. Later, one day is going to come.
One day, what do you think is going to come into action?
Action, for sure.
Yeah. People have to watch what they think.
Oh, shoot. It's hard.
We learned in the past. What's the explanation? We just explained that this world is an action world. Mm. So really what counts is only action. Yeah? Why is Hirhuri Aveda, why if thoughts of sin worse than the sin? It touched me Aveda. Mercy is worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
What?
Hirhuri Aveda. Thought of sin, Gmarsis is worse than the sin. But this is an action world. If I think I'm going to kill you, I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah? By the way, one of our presidents of the United States, I don't know how many of you were born then when he was a president, not that long ago, Carter, once had a very famous interview with a certain non-mentionable magazine. And he says he commits adultery in thought. It was, such a holy man. The question, why should thought, what's more difficult than Aveda if you're not punishable for it? So Chassidus explains, a person is called, Alter Rebbe says this in the Kutta Teira, a person is called Adam. Aleph, Dalid, Mem. Aleph is Machshava. Okay, we'll soon see why. Dalid, Dibur. And Mem is Maaseh. So Dal Rebbe explains, Adam is thought, speech, and action. Aleph is Machshava. So the question, we should be called Madam. Machshava, Dibur, and Maaseh. So we should be called Madam. Why are we called Adam? So Dal Rebbe explains, like this. Of the three garments, Machshava is what's called the Levush HaMiyuchad. It's the thought, the garment, which is one with the soul. What does this mean? You could stop talking, sometimes. You could stop doing, but you can never stop thinking.
24 hours.
Even if you're not thinking, you're thinking that you're not thinking. I mean, most people don't think. Even when they talk, they don't think. But they're thinking that they're not thinking. So it says in Chassidus, why is it that you can never stop thinking? So it says, thought is so connected to the nefesh. It's a one. Echad. Aleph. Echad. Thought is so one with the nefesh. Just like the nefesh is always working, the neshama is always working, thought also always works. So if thought is the levusha miyuchad, the soul, the garment which is close to the soul, so then when you blemish thought, it's a deeper blemish on the neshama than speech or action, because it's closer.
So close.
Because it's one with it's closer to the neshama. Why is it close? We see it's close because you can never stop thinking. Because it's one with the neshama. So therefore, this explains that this thoughts of sin are more. It's not punishable because in this world, action matters. You do it or you don't. It's only in the action you get punished for. But spiritually, thought. By the way, the one thought you do get punished for. The Gemara says, it's thought of Aveda Zara. Somebody thinks they're going to worship Aveda Zara, so that if you could prove that that's what the guy thought, Beis Din would kill him, the Gemara says.
How would they, if you speak?
If they proved it, whatever. But thought by itself, because it's so connected to the, so therefore a blemish in thought is a greater blemish on the soul, because it's closer to the soul, than speech or action. Here, the action of the person wasn't bad, because the bottom line is, did they eat treif? They didn't eat treif. The meat happened to come out to be kosher. But the intent, the thought of doing something wrong, that's the problem. That's what the person needs. Hashem yislach lo. That's why the person needs forgiveness from Hashem.
But thought is intellect?
No.
No.
Stupid people also think.
Thought is.
Could you think stupid things?
Yeah.
Okay. People think thought is seichel. Thought is not seichel. There's seichel, there's midas, and then there's the garments. Thought, speech, and action. Okay? Thought has nothing to do with seichel. Thought can reveal a midah. Thought can reveal seichel, intellect. Thought can reveal shtusim. All thought is a part of the person that reveals things that they have in them to themselves.
Or outside.
No, thought not to the outside. Speech comes to the outside.
Thought is a levush, no?
A levush. But it's a garment that reveals it to you. Somebody loves their family. Yeah? They love their family. But they're busy at work. They're not concentrating about their family. Okay? Do they have the love? They have the love. It's there. Okay? Is it revealed at that moment?
No.
No. Because it's busy. You're busy with other stuff. If you want to reveal the love that you have hidden to yourself, you think about them. You want to reveal it to somebody else, you say, I love them. You want to do something, you'll give them a kiss. Or do something for them. Right? The same thing with Seichel. You know something. You know that 2 and 2 is 4. But you're not thinking about 2 and 2 is 4. You're thinking whatever. So it's there, but it's not revealed. You want to reveal it to yourself, you think it. You want to reveal it to somebody else, you speak it. Then you want to reveal it in action, you write it. But thought is a big mistake people make. Machshava and Seichel are two different things. And the simple proof of it, you can think shtuyot, stupidity, and stupid things. So obviously it's not Seichel. And yet there's Machshava, there's thought. Thought is just a garment that reveals, has nothing of its own, by the way. Machshava can only reveal Seichel and Midas, to your intellect and your emotions, or other things that you have within you. It's only a revelation. The garments of a person are nothing. The person, in order to reveal themselves, needs garments. Right? And the Gemara says, the garments are called, Rabbi Yechon said, the garments are called machabdusa, would honor him. Okay? If a person's dressed like a mensch, he demands honor. When you're dressed like a clown, then you don't demand, right? You go for an interview, they tell you how to dress, and there's a whole, to dress. The dress is the person? The garment makes you smarter? You put on a nice suit, you're smarter? It doesn't work like that. It represents you in a certain way. Right? What do you think Shlomo HaMelech says? A fool, when he's silent, sounds smart. Okay, because when you have the levush adibur, and it reveals the stupidity of the person, then everybody sees how stupid they are.
So as long as the thought is not coming to dibur, is not
you're not punished, but you need tshuva for it. You need to be.
Machshava is a problem.
Yehudim, that's machshava.
But the thought is not controlled.
That's why the Gemara says a Maharer Beratzin is called a Rasha. One who willingly thinks an evil thought is a Rasha. That's what the book says, not me. Join the Rasha Club.
Wait, for that moment or forever?
Till you do tshuva.
Every day is tshuva. What do you mean?
How can you do tshuva on a thought? You don't stop thinking?
No, so what does a person do when a foreign thought comes in?
So you'll never do it again.
Stop
it.
How?
Thinking something else.
You cannot.
By thinking something else.
Wait, but Rabbi, what if?
One second.
The 5-minute rule.
Not the 5-minute rule. a beinoni doesn't sin in machshava dibur u'maisa. Okay? Doesn't sin not in thought, not in speech, not in action. Doesn't sin. Okay? Not even thought, controls his thought. But he has a nefesh habamis, he has a yetzer hara that pumps foreign thoughts into the mind. So it says, the beinoni, you know, it's like somebody knocks on your door. You can either invite him in for tea, and coffee, and cake, and you can throw him out. Somebody came to the Magid and said, Rebbe, how can I control my thoughts? So he sent it to Volv, the Volv Kitzes, in under the town. He comes to him, knocks on the door, nobody's answering. He looks through the window, he sees the guy's there learning. Knocks louder, no answer. A whole night he's knocking on the door, no answer. Finally, in the morning, he opens the door. He said, what can I do for you? He says, the Rebbe sent me to you, you should teach me how to keep out foreign thoughts. So the guy said, I just answered your question. You were knocking a whole night, I didn't open. Why? Because in my house, I'm the boss, who I let in, who I don't let in. He knew what the Magid was sending him to him for. He's a tzaddikim. They knew. He knew why the guy came to him. So he didn't let him in. He said to him, basically, you see, in my house, I'm the boss. I let in who I want. I don't let in who I don't want. Okay? So that's how the Magid said to him, go to him, he'll teach you how the evil thought knocks on your brain. Knock, knock. You have a choice. So the Beinoni right away gets rid of it by thinking a good thought.
But it's still there.
No. Once you think a good thought, the evil thought goes away. But it's going to come back.
But to have a good thought to replace, you have to have a bad thought. So.
Oh, no. You always need to be full of good thoughts.
Yeah.
Torah thoughts.
So you don't do any effort. You don't push it. Because
yes, you do. Because you can't think two things at the same time.
When you go buy tomatoes, you want to get the hard one, the red one, the best one.
Is that your understanding of something good, tomato? I mean, is that your Olam Hazeh, the Tainug of Olam Hazeh, tomatoes?
I have to bring it to something
practical.
You say
ice cream, which flavor you pick. Tomatoes.
I understand better with the tomato, I don't
like cooking.
Okay, but wow. I mean, there was a chassid, the Rabbi Rashan, the Friedrich Rebbe's name was Rabbi Richard the Masmit. Okay, he was a Beinoni of Tanya. Okay, he was here in America. His granddaughter lives in LA. In LA, she's a okay. Everybody knows who she is, huh? Yeah, Rabbi Astulin's wife is a granddaughter of this Rabbi Richard the Masmit. Anyway, he comes to America on a visit, and he writes back a letter to Russia. He says he can't understand how low the American Jews got. Listen to this. This is what he writes. They eat bread with butter, and they smear the butter on the bread.
What?
He said, the chutzpah. Mainly eat bread and butter. So you eat bread and eat butter. To smear the bread, the butter on the bread?
What's the smear?
He said, Jimmy Napoleon.
The rabbit.
He said, look, and he wrote to his chassidim friend, and look how low our Jews became in America. They smeared the butter on the bread. He couldn't handle it. That was his understanding of coarseness. That should be our problem, that we smear the peanut butter on the bread. I mean, that should be our low level of kedusha. For him, that was a low level of kedusha. What's your problem? Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I keep thinking about butter.
Butter. Vimhaya Siya. Okay, Pasig Zayin. Vimhaya, we'll just start this Pasig. Vimhaya Siya Liish. What happens if this woman is married? Until now, we learned that if she's not married, then between 12 and 12 and a half, then the father can nullify her. But we hear the Torah doesn't say if she's over 12 and a half, the father cannot nullify the vow. Once she makes a vow, it's stuck. But she can go to what's called Ataras Nedarim. Okay? You can do Ataras. By the way, I should have said this before. All the way up on the third line of the page, when it says Lo Yachal Devari, he cannot make his vow Chil. From here, the Gemara learns out Hu Einei Aval Achedem, somebody else could. In other words, like this. There is no mention in Chumash about coming to be matan neder. All the Torah speaks about the father could do it, the husband could do it. The Torah, this whole concept of nullification of vows that we do out of Yom Kippur or B'chal, if somebody makes a vow and they want to undo it, nowhere in Chumash does it say anything about about nullifying the vow. And the Gemara says, Atar's Nadarim is Perchas Ba'avir. It's like, what's the source of it in Chumash? Because the Torah says, Le'yachol Devari, he cannot make his words chulin. But somebody, Avalachedim could. If you go to a Mimatinad, Mutalach, that undoes the Asalach, that he made by making the Shvuah. That's the source, by the way, of Atar's Nadarim. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara says, B'chlal, it has no place.
So the mother, on Yom Kippur, when the mother goes and listening to all of the Tehillat of Nadarim.
All the what?
For Yom Kippur.
We do it every Rosh Hashanah. Okay,
we do both.
Both
of them. So that's for me, it's not counted for my daughter or for my kids.
Over bar mitzvah, they have to do themselves. Yeah. In our circles, women don't do Atar's and Dorim. Not the Rosh Hashanah.
Because they rely on the husband.
Or whatever, but we don't do it.
They don't have the sin, maybe.
They don't make vows. They're perfect. They don't need a vow. If you're perfect, you don't need to make a vow. Mm-hmm. See, women, that's the difference. Women don't need to make vows. They're perfect.
Yeah.
Men make vows because we don't discriminate. Okay, 1 minute.